Turn with me in your scriptures to the book of Psalms, Psalm 14, unless you have the Septuagint that it's 13. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned away. All have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Do all these evildoers know nothing? They devour my people as though eating bread. They never call on the Lord. But there they are, overwhelmed with dread, for God is present in the company of the righteous. You evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion when the Lord restores his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. And then turn with me to Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 15. And then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." He told them a parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." And finally, from the book of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and verse 10, one verse. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done well in the body, whether good or bad." A word about words. The word fool in Psalm 14, and as it is translated into Greek in the Septuagint, and the word fool in the Luke 12 passage are the same Greek word. They are both a Greek word that has as its basic meaning the idea of someone who does not understand, someone who is senseless or thoughtless. It is the word, the root of the word for thoughts, phronema, with a negative on the front of it. I mention that because Jesus also says in the 5th chapter of Matthew's Gospel that we are not to say to anyone, "You fool." That's a different Greek word that means worthless or useless. It's used of salt that loses its saltiness. And unfortunately, those two very different word families get translated by the same English word, fool, in most translations. The fool, that is to say, the thoughtless one, the uncomprehending one, says in his heart, "There is no God." I always found this text an awkward text because there is so little reflection on philosophical atheism in biblical literature. And I took this text always to be, in the first place, a reference to someone who is a philosophical atheist, who opens his mouth and says, "There is no God. Let me tell you what reality really is." And ultimately, the philosophical atheist is a fool. He believes that everything that is distinctly human about him is an utter conflict with the nature of reality, that he is above all else a person in a world that is ultimately impersonal, that he is a being who always thinks about right and wrong, arising out of a universe that is valueless, that he is someone who demands that his life have meaning in a universe that is inherently meaningless. But this text is not about that. I'll leave the philosophical stuff to the philosophers. Let me suggest to you that if a biblical writer, here David, were writing about modern philosophical atheists, he would not say the fool says in his heart. He would say the fool says with his mouth. Because that's what an atheist does in the modern setting. He opens his mouth and he makes affirmations for all to hear boldly, confidently, assuredly, with a certain smirk and demeanor that says that he regards those of you who believe in God as naive, unsophisticated. That is to say, he thinks of you as fools. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. David is writing about the circumstances of his own day. And in his own day, almost everybody is a speaker of some kind of theism. Everybody affirms some kind of a God. That's not the point. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. You see, if you understand that there is a creator God, good, just, and holy, who made us, and to whom we must give an account for our lives, and that the ultimate reality is not our death, but that the spirit that God gave us returns to God, that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ for whether we've done good or bad in the body. We must all give an account to the Creator and to the Redeemer for our lives. If we say, yes, there is a God, then every time we make a decision, we ought to ask the question, what does God think of what I'm deciding to do? Now, let's not get trivial with that, whether you're deciding whether to have a Big Mac or to have a salad. Take my advice, have the salad, it's better for you. But we are constantly engaged in making decisions. I'm not, what car to buy, by G. What kind of food to eat. But whether I'm going to do this sin or not do it. Right? I mean, if you're all like me, you're just cruising along holy and happy and rejoicing in the Lord, and bingo, there's the temptation. We find ourselves time and again confronted with the circumstance that something in our external circumstances, in us, around us, the work of the devil, we are tempted, we are drawn, we are enticed to not live in terms of the law of the Lord, to sin, to do what is unpleasing to him. And in that circumstance, we say, I don't think God's looking right now. God doesn't really care about this. This one's okay. It's just not a big deal. God's not watching. See, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And the truth is that very, very often we play the part of the senseless, thoughtless, unwise one, the fool. Because we contemplate what we're about to do, and we convince ourselves that we will not give an account to God for what we're about to do, and we go ahead and do it. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. they go astray. You know, Paul quotes those words in Romans. And so, you see, I don't think this text is at all about the philosophical question, how do we as Christians interact with and relate to modern philosophical atheism? Although this provides us a basis for understanding it, ultimately. This addresses what is true among those who are objectively in the covenant, who have the sign of the covenant on them, who claim to be Israelites, who are part of the nation of God, who are part of the church, who are part of the community of Christians. And how easily it is for us to play the fool and to not take into account that God is watching, God is judging, that every word, every deed, and every thought will appear before His judgment. And so the rich man in the story of Jesus prospers. He has more than enough. He builds more barns. He goes out and he says, let's eat and drink and be merry. I've got everything I have. I'm satisfied. I've arrived at my goal. I've got my MDiv. I'm now an ordained minister. I am respected and thought highly of by others in the church. When will God say to you, come here, I want to talk with you. It's time for you to come. Come here, now. And suddenly, our 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, whatever the sure span is, we're gone. And there we are, standing before the Almighty and His enthroned Son to give an account for what we've done in the body, whether good or evil. And if that is the case, then we need to work hard at not being the fool who says in his heart, not out loud with his mouth, not as a brazen philosophical statement, not as a series of arguments about the absurdity of a belief in an almighty creator, none of that stuff, but who says in his heart, there's no God right here at this moment when I'm about to do what I know is wrong, when I'm about to give in to my passions, when I'm about to do what I know is not pleasing in God's sight, God is not watching. He is not paying attention. He is not looking at me. He's got more than enough to do to worry about. It's a little thing. And we play the part of the fool. And when we do that, what happens? Well, the fool says in heart, there is no God. What is the consequence? They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. That's what happens when men do not call to account the reality that they must stand before the judgment of their Creator and give an account to Him for their lives. Let us not be like that. Why do I say that to you? Well, because this is a very disconcerting psalm to me. It is disconcerting because as long as the fool in my reading of the text was the philosophical atheist, it was the guy out there. And when I thought about what the text actually says, the fool says in his heart, and I thought about my own behavior and how many times I have given in to the evil urge because it felt good, because it seemed right, because I could justify it. And I did not say to myself, yes, but my Creator and my Redeemer is watching. And I play the fool who says in his heart, not with his mouth, not as a blazing statement, but secretly, inwardly, in the hidden heart, there is no God. I can get away with this. Let us not be the fool. Let us instead be those who repent, who see the profundity of our sin and turn from it, and like David, confess it to the Lord and strive against it. Let us not be the fool and say in our heart, there is no God. Let us instead say, create in me, O God, a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that your word may speak directly to our hearts and souls, and that we may take heed of its warnings and endeavor to live by it. Father, we confess that our faith in you and in your Son Jesus is a little faith, and our repentance is weak and wobbly. O Father, by your Spirit, because of your grace and mercy to us, so work in us that we would be ever mindful of you, of your great mercy to us in your Son Jesus, and of the account that we must give to you for how we live our lives. And grant us grace that we may more and more not play the fool, but play the penitent. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn then.